This is Night Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tonight's subject is St. Petersburg and other Memphis. Tonight's guest, the Reverend A.D. King, just as his brother, the late Martin Luther King, helped the garbage workers in Memphis in their strike, he's helping the sanitation men in St. Petersburg. You speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Collect, Night Call's national phone number. Area code 212-749-3311 or in the New York area, 866-5010. Night Call's host in New York City is Del Shields.
Good evening. In April of this year, the Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr. went to Memphis, Tennessee to offer his assistance to the striking sanitation workers in that city. He was not expert on that labor dispute. He was an outsider. He led a march. There was violence. Not only was he an outsider, he was an agitator. He was expert on one salient fact of that dispute, blackness. The Memphis strike was a racial one. The black sanitation workers were on strike because they wanted the same sort of working conditions and pay their white co-workers enjoyed. After Dr. King's death, the strike was finally settled in their favor. In June of this year, the Reverend A.D. King went to St. Petersburg, Florida, to offer his assistance to the striking sanitation workers in that city. He was not expert on their labor dispute. He was an outsider. He led several marches. There was no violence. But he was still an outsider and an agitator. And he, too, was an expert on the state of being black. But here the similarities in the two different cities and strikes seem to end. In the state of Florida, it is illegal for any state, county, or municipal employee to strike. The St. Petersburg strike was along what only can be described as de facto racial lines. In other words, 210 of the 211 striking sanitation workers were black. But that was only because they represented the vast majority of sanitation workers. The city's position was a hard one. They fired the strikers for illegally striking. They hired replacements. The position at the moment is this. In order to rehire the strikers, their replacements would have to be fired. It is what you might call a Mexican standoff. High sources in the St. Petersburg administration admit that a mistake was made in firing the strikers. But now that the hard line was taken, there is no recourse but to stick with it and hope that everyone, including the city administration of St. Petersburg, will learn from it. There is more. Some responsible officials see the sanitation strike experience as a symptom of the very real race and poverty problems the city has, want to face these problems and find solutions to them as black and white fellow citizens of St. Petersburg working together. The demonstrations continue, however. Last night, a reported 200 marched in St. Petersburg. This morning, three black women were arrested following their attempt to block the exit of the sanitation compound to prevent the trucks from going out to make their collections. Another march was scheduled for earlier this evening. Our guest, Reverend A.D. King, is in Atlanta tonight, but plans to return to St. Petersburg sometime next week to again participate in demonstrations. Reverend King is standing by now to answer your questions and share your comments and conversation. We would especially welcome callers from St. Petersburg this evening. You may call us collect at our national telephone number, which is area code 212-749-3311. That's national calls on 212-749-3311. In the New York area, you may call us at 866-5010. Local calls only on 866-5010. Reverend King, good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, and thank you so much for being with us tonight on Night Call. Reverend, is St. Petersburg another Memphis?
Well, certainly. There are some parallels in the two, in that you had sanitation workers involved in Memphis, which was almost purely racial. You have a similar situation in St. Petersburg, where the question has been more money, better conditions. You have the same thing in St. Petersburg, and the workers were out of work for a period of time with their families gone without the necessities of life. You do have this present. You have the action atmosphere in St. Petersburg that you did have in Memphis. There are out daily demonstrations. There is a kind of a hardcore resistance on the part of the city administration, as you did have in, as we did have in Memphis. So there are definitely many parallels in the case of St. Petersburg and Memphis.
Reverend King, what has been your reception in St. Petersburg? Have they welcomed you with open arms?
I assume you mean the city administration?
Right.
No, I'm sorry to report that I haven't received open arm reception. I have had a very warm meeting with the mayor of St. Petersburg, but on the other hand, a rather cold meeting with the city manager, Mr. Andrews. On one occasion, I did get the chance of meeting him. But it has not been a very warm reception.
What has been the reaction generally of the white citizens of St. Petersburg to this strike?
Naturally, there has been much resistance on part of the white community, but at this point, there seems to be an interest on the part of some of the persons in the economic power structure to seek to bring some solution to the problem. As you know, St. Petersburg is a tourist city, and I'm sure those in positions of economic power are quite concerned at this time with the summer season closing and the winter season about to come, the tourist season about to open, but the problem will be resolved so that it will not force an embarrassment on the city or the loss of money.
In removing 210 of the 211 striking sanitation workers, based on your experience, does this not seem a rather high total in cases like this?
Well, very definitely, because it does not only involve the 211 sanitation workers, but their families as well. So, statistically speaking, you don't know. It's difficult to say how many individuals are involved when you add families in, dependent persons, you see. So, it is a very high involvement, really.
Reverend King, we'll begin accepting some calls from our night call listeners. And we have our first caller who is calling in from St. Petersburg, Mr. May Ferguson. And we'll accept Mr. Ferguson's question. Your question, sir.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
This is Reverend Ferguson.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't know you were Reverend. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good, but the thing is, look like everything's going Democrat. This is Reverend Steele, isn't it?
No. This is Reverend King.
I mean Reverend King.
Yes.
Well, you know how you left us.
Yes.
Well, it ain't done no better.
Mm-hmm.
And we're praying and hoping and trusting that you'll get back and help us to lead some marches down here. We really need some help in these marches, not bad.
Yes. Well, I will be coming in next week, and we will continue our fight.
Yes, sir, and we're all marching fast, you know, leading these marches the best we can. We're working each day and night, and we're struggling hard. And if you got any kind of support you can bring with you, we'll really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, and let us continue to pray. And I will be bringing other persons with me, and we are appealing to people throughout the nation to join us in.
Yes, sir, and we're praying hard.
Yes. We're appealing to people throughout the country to help us fight this problem.
Yes, sir. See, we really need some money.
Yes. But we are also seeking to get funds, too.
Well, that sounds good to me.
All right, Reverend.
Reverend, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York, area code 212-749-3311. That's our national telephone number, and of course you may call us collect. We welcome your comments and your conversations, as tonight we are discussing, is St. Petersburg another Memphis? Our guest tonight calling in from Atlanta, Georgia, is Reverend A.D. King. Reverend King, we'll take our next call from Whitehall, Michigan. Mr. Don Gellin is hearing Night Call over WLRC. Your question, sir. Mr. Gellin?
Reverend King, I would like to know exactly what can the people of the United States do to help your cause? I think it's a very worthy one.
Well, I first think that can be appealing to the city administration to recognize that this is a legitimate site and that it does involve a bread and butter question.
Reverend King, we're having difficulties.
Come in to St. Petersburg and help us in our nonviolent, peaceful protests, our demonstrations. Thirdly, of course, naturally, the families of these men who have been fired. These men need financial support, and we do appeal to all persons to help us financially by sending monies to St. Petersburg to the five sanitation workers. These are three basic things that I think we do need at this time.
During your statement, sir, we were having problems with the caller, Mr. Gellin from Whitehall, Michigan. And Mr. Gellin, we had to cut you off, but if you'd like to call back, we'll accept your call again. We had difficulties with the line, and we're very sorry. This is Night Call in New York, area code 212-749-3311. That's our national telephone number, and of course you may call us collect. We welcome your comments and your conversation tonight with Reverend King as we discuss, is St. Petersburg another Memphis? Our local telephone number in New York is 866-5010. That's 866-5010 in New York. Reverend King, is it possible that the city fathers of St. Petersburg, in looking at this particular strike that is going on now, that they would see in this some kind of catalytic action that may persuade other Negroes or other blacks in the community to try to right some of the wrongs that are taking place?
Repeat that question, I'm sorry.
Is it possible that the present strike of the garbage workers in St. Petersburg would be viewed by the city fathers as some kind of catalytic action that may persuade other blacks to try to correct some of the wrongs that are going on in St. Petersburg?
Oh, very definitely. I think without a question, and I feel that this is one of the reasons that at points they don't want to really deal with the question. But I think without a question, they are viewing it in this light.
We have another call from Florida, this time Tampa, Florida. Mr. Stanley Parrish is hearing Night Call over WFLA. Your question, Mr. Parrish.
Yes, Reverend King, as much as I would like to help every laboring man to earn an adequate living, I don't believe we can actually do it under our present creation of money. That is, where all the money is borrowed on interest, because if we do this, there's never enough to pay back the bonds. We can't pay off the national debt. And the people have been disenfranchised from their own credit as given to them by the national constitution. Has anybody gone into this aspect of lack of money?
Well, really, we haven't. It's an amazing thing. But we have not gone in from that view. Now, in St. Petersburg, some 86,000, a little more now, have been spent in hiring extra policemen, overtime, to patrol the streets doing peaceful demonstrations. Now, it is amazing to us that a city can find that kind of money to pay overtime policemen who are already apparently paid adequate salaries, who are white, incidentally, and black persons who are underpaid to start out with are not able to get a quarter raise without these problems. This is difficult to understand how a city can find money for everything else but something of this nature. So that we feel that the money is available, it's up to the city to decide to use it.
I got a letter from the Treasury Department, and they said that all of our principal currency was barred and was paying interest, which means if we paid off the national debt, which we can't do anyway because there's not enough money, we would have no currency. And they have just recently raised all our taxes here, and it's the little man, the little wage earner, that's been hurt the most. And when you find that there's over 1,700 hidden taxes on a loaf of bread, you know, we've got a commercial society. We have to have so much money just to live. And when...
Well, I think this is the whole issue that we're discussing and fighting now.
Yes, sir.
Is there enough money for men to live?
Well, that's what I've been working on, because I've been trying to make a living as an individual down here in Tampa for 15 years, and I had hopes at first, but I can see through it now that we're nothing but economic slaves, and it's up to our Congress to give us our credit back as Abraham Lincoln did way back in 1862. And I believe if we'll check our records that the Constitution doesn't say we've got to pay interest to anybody. And I believe on the national debt, if we paid interest, the interest borrowed from the people ought to go back to the people and give them a stake.
Well, I quite agree.
Mr. Parrish, thank you for calling,
sir. Thank you. Good night.
We'll continue with more questions and comments from our listeners across the nation right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Reverend A.D. King after station identification. Black is a red-blooded American color. The black showed the color of his blood in places like Vietnam and Korea, and every other all-American battleground since the Revolution. Every time his country calls for help, he hears. But we don't seem to hear him when he calls. If black and white would listen with their hearts, they could hear each other. That's what Night Call is all about. It lets people air their views man to man, color to color, live from phones anywhere in the country. A syringe full of junk bites into black and white skin with the same ruining surge, and a black mother cries over her child just like a white one does. The problems are the same. The characters just have different colors. Night Call's person-to-person nationwide radio hookup lets the black and the white tell it like it is. Speak for yourself, collect on Night Call, area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to Reverend A.D. King about Is St. Petersburg Another Memphis? Again, Del Shields.
Just before we return to our guest, Reverend King, tonight, I would just like to tell our Night Call listeners that there are those occasions when we may have some technical difficulty with one of the phone lines. And if it's necessary, we will cut you off, but we don't want you to feel that we are being improper nor impolite. It is only that the distorted sound kind of offends all of us, and especially when we can't hear exactly what you're saying. So if we do find it necessary to call you to cut you off, please feel free to call us back. Reverend King, just before station identification, we were talking with Mr. Parrish, and he was getting into the area of economics. Just what is the pay scale of the garbage workers in St. Petersburg, and what are they asking for?
One quarter is what is being asked in the raise. Now, in the Tampa strike, which has been settled, I believe it was $1.25. I don't know what their raise was. In the St. Petersburg strike, I believe it's somewhere in the area of $1.60 an hour to $1.80. It may be some increase there, but in that general category.
$1.60 to $1.80 an hour. Yes. Is this for a 5-day week?
Right.
Thank you. We'll accept our next call, this time again from Tampa, Florida. And by the way, we are accepting many, many calls from Tampa and St. Petersburg, Florida, so please feel free to call. This is Mr. Ed Harnett, who is hearing Night Call over WFLA. Your question, Mr. Harnett.
Thank you, Reverend King. We, of course, as you just indicated, have experienced our strike, if you can be called that, settled peaceably by local authorities. And the garbage men, I would say, handle themselves within the authority of the law. I just want to know, and I follow, of course, your situation and St. Petersburg closely, what are your goals? It appears that you're not preaching brotherhood, but rather an open defiance of the law, as everyone must live. I think the authorities there were most cooperative, and they're allowing your petitions to march. But the first time they didn't, it didn't matter to y'all. Y'all marched anyway and were thrown in jail. And this, I think, particularly people in our area, we don't appreciate it. And I was just wondering what your actual goals were.
Well, I think first, one must first end Martin. He must do this because of a commitment of what he believes. And if one marches under commitment nonviolently, not seeking to injure or create any disturbance or outbreak, but rather to register peaceful protest, he ought to have this right. Now, if there is a system that says you cannot be peaceful in your protest or we will arrest you, then we have to be prepared to suffer the consequences, because an individual loses human dignity when he is not able to speak and to demonstrate his commitment. So that the goal is really to register the protest of the people in a peaceful way. And if the city is so cruel and so naive as not to be able to see this, then those who march must march peacefully, nonviolently, and willing to break that law, but pay the consequences in breaking that law, because it is an unjust law.
There again, of course, the law is for everybody, and we feel that the rights go along with responsibilities, and certainly we all must live in a society, and certainly I feel that, and as you have noticed, we've got problems along these lines, and if we preach in the other way, how can we possibly expect all of our citizens to adhere to the law if we're going to allow an exception in one part just because a person feels that way?
Well, I think one must first understand the Christian concept of nonviolent resistance. And certainly this is only the teachings of Jesus, that if you have to refuse to obey the law of the society, that is an unjust law, then you must be able to, to pay the price, even if this price means physical death. And this is the whole teaching of Jesus. So you first must be able to perceive and conceive the Christian concept as it relates to nonviolence. And then from there you must move in the Christian framework, willing to accept whatever society imposes upon you. If it means jail, or if it means a beating by those who are controlling society, or even if it means physical death, one must be willing to suffer, knowing that suffering often and eventually brings redemption.
Well, like I say, I just think this is a terrible price at a particular time when we all should, like I say, live like Christians. I consider myself a Christian, but in the same light, I don't think actually take part in, for my own cause, that would break a law openly and do this. But I consider myself a good Christian, and the teachings of Jesus and the Bible, this is all well and fine. But again, we have to live in a society, we have to live together, and we should, I think, act accordingly. Let's face it, it's a hard life for all of us, but the sooner we start getting along, the heck of a lot better we're all going to be, I think.
Mr. Harnett?
Yes.
I'd like to pose a question to you.
Yes.
Do you consider all laws just laws?
No, but I think there's a due process to change them, and this doesn't include breaking them necessarily. Like I said, we've got a fine country and a fine judicial system, and I think our country is so set up that it's not necessary to do so, not as long as we have an orderly due process of the law.
Well, what was...
Well, really, it is not breaking a law, a higher law. It's breaking a lower law and really cooperating with a higher law, and that is the law, moral law of the universe, that you obey that which is right and refuse to cooperate with that which is evil or unjust. And a system that says that a person does not have the right to protest peacefully and nonviolently, a system that says this certainly has created an evil and an unjust law, which is certainly contrary to the Christian teaching. I think if you carry this back to the Christian concept, I think certainly you will see this is the only reason that Jesus was crucified. and that was that he did not obey or cooperate with the evil laws of the society in which he lived.
I can agree, Reverend King, but this is not your problem in St. Petersburg.
I think it certainly is.
You've had more than possibly in many other cities the cooperation as far as your marches go. But there again, I say the first time they said not to go to City Hall, you went out of open defiance and for no other reason.
Well, I think you would certainly agree that it's a poor city and a non-cooperative city that would tell its citizens that they cannot come to the City Hall where they pay taxes on.
They, again, the law says they have to issue a permit. They did for many, many days, and they're doing it again. But still, the very first time they didn't,
they issued a permit, this permit said not that they were not able to go to City Hall.
Right.
And I think this is an unjust city that doesn't permit its citizenry to City Hall.
They have let you, and they let you again. But I don't know. I say it is a problem. I feel I envy. I can say, as far as I can determine, the garbage men now or the refuge collectors in St. Petersburg are probably one of the highest paid in the South. And unfortunately, they operated in a different manner than they did in Tampa, and they broke a contract, and they broke the law in the first place. And of course, they were discharged of their duties, and they were replaced. And again, like I say, as the monitor mentioned before, there is a problem now because other men, responsible men, have these jobs. And I can say, I feel sorry for these men because I know they've got families and they've got to eat. But there again, it all started by them breaking the law in the first place. Just or unjust, I don't think myself a big enough man.
But these men have been punished. I think you have to remember that these men have long been punished by another kind of a law. And that's a kind of an economic law of deprivation. And these men have been so long deprived because of the wage scale that they received, they haven't been able to adequately take care of their families. I don't think we need to expand on that. General wage.
Right.
And somehow, these men had to attack this kind of economic law, which held them in a kind of a prison of depravity, of economic deprivation.
Mr. Harnett, thank you for being with us, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York, and we'll take our next call again from Tampa, Florida. This time, Mr. Kim Stewart is hearing Night Call over WFLA. Mr. Stewart, your question, sir.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to ask a question. Why is it that many of your so-called protest-type marches have failed for the simple reason that the citizenry of St. Petersburg will not cooperate? They just didn't show up.
Well, it has been my experience on every occasion that I've been there. We've had quite a number of people.
How many?
Well, I think the latest report was 200 marchettes being in the rain.
There was one.
We've had marches every day.
There was one supposedly to go off on July 4th, and it was canceled because of lack of participation.
Well, I don't know about the 4th, but I've been to St. Petersburg since the 4th, and I would estimate somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 or more.
And that wasn't the only one. There was one scheduled on a Saturday very, very recently. As a matter of fact, I think it was last Saturday. It had to be canceled or postponed or rearranged because of lack of participation.
Let me say this.
I think this is a good example for the rest of the country to follow. Some of these people... I don't think the people here in St. Pete want trouble.
Oh, I certainly would not think that anybody wants trouble.
I mean, they don't.
I think, certainly, I don't think the garbage workers, the sanitation workers, are concerned with trouble. I think they're more concerned with bread and butter. I certainly think they don't want trouble in their community, but they do want bread and butter for their children, decent housing.
Are you trying to create trouble?
I'm sorry?
Aren't you trying to create trouble?
Don't
you think they could resolve it on their own without
Mr. Stewart?
I think he's more interested in eating.
Don't you think they could resolve it without you?
I'm sorry?
Don't you think they could resolve it without you?
Without me?
Without you and all the rest of these people that you're going to bring in who have no connection with the strike.
Well, I certainly hope that it will be resolved without me. I only come in to lend whatever assistance that I can to these men of St. Petersburg who invited me in. I do not come in St.
Who invited you?
I'm sorry?
Who invited you?
The sanitation workers.
The sanitation workers.
Mr. Stewart and Dr. Reverend King, I'm sorry. We'll have to break for station identification. Mr. Stewart, if you'd like to stay on the line, you may. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Reverend A.D. King after station identification. Listen to the voices of Night Call.
We're trying to bring about change in this nation through nonviolent channels. Now, if we cannot do it through nonviolence, there are other forces that are going to lead people down a violent path, and the nation will be destroyed.
Ralph Abernathy on apathy and violence, and a white industrialist says jobs will save us from a racial inferno.
It's better to learn and earn than to burn, baby, burn. Now, these are the changes in attitude that spring from the community as a whole to try to work with these people, not just work on them, and to have industry reach into the area and try to recruit and hire the guy that's qualified and to get the other fellow to take training so he, too, can get a job.
Speak for yourself on Night Call. Speak for yourself, collect on Night Call, area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to Reverend A.D. King about Is St. Petersburg Another Memphis? Again, Del Shields.
And we welcome the various stations who join us for the second half hour of Night Call, and just prior to station identification, Mr. Kim Stewart from Tampa, Florida, who is hearing Night Call over WFLA, was addressing his questions to Reverend A.D. King, who is calling in from Atlanta. Mr. Stewart?
Yes. How many marches have you had?
I'm not sure of the number, but it has been well over into 3 weeks now that they've been marching daily out in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know there have been some that have had to be postponed or canceled or put off.
Well,
they put
somewhere one of us are getting the wrong information. I talked with persons in St. Pete even this morning, and I have been told that since my last visit there that they have marched daily. Now, I'm not in a position to refute your source, but it has been reported to me to the contrary. I also received...
My source, incidentally, is Radio News Report.
I'm sorry?
My source is Radio News Report.
Well, mine is newspaper.
Well, we won't get into that, will we?
So this isn't important. But I think one thing we must be concerned with, more important than how many persons are there, I think it's important that this struggle would continue if there is one man who is disenfranchised.
Mr. Shield, may I make one last statement?
Yes, sir, you may.
I'd just like to say that I'm very proud of the general Negro population of St. Petersburg. Basically, they have not taken part in these marches. It has been agitators from the outside. Of course, there are a few, but basically, the people are not willing to go in, march, demonstrate, do all of these things. And I think this is a fantastic example for the rest of the country. I wish the rest of the country, some of the people in the ghettos, would when these people come in, like Abernathy and Brown, when they come in to, and I believe they come in to stir up, to do nothing but stir up trouble and stir the people up. I think it'd be a fantastic idea if the people would just sit back and just
Could I ask you a question?
Ignore them.
Has Mr. Abernathy and Mr. Brown been in? I didn't hear about that.
Not to St. Petersburg.
Oh,
I'm talking about around the country.
I thought you were talking about St. Petersburg.
I was talking about the people in the rest of the country. When these agitators do come in, just let them come. Let them go. They'll have their fun. And I think that you are just nothing but a troublemaker sent in here to agitate, to try to get the people riled up, and your plan just hasn't worked. And I'm very proud of the citizenry of St. Petersburg for this.
Thank you for your call. God bless you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. This is Night Calling New York. Tonight we are discussing Is St. Petersburg Another Memphis? Our guest tonight calling in from Atlanta, Georgia, is Reverend A.D. King. We'll accept our next listener, our next call, rather, from Mr. Melvin Wells, who is hearing Night Call over WLIB in New York. Mr. Wells, your question, sir. All right, we'll go back to Tampa, Florida. This time, Mr. Charles Nash is hearing Night Call over WFLA. Mr. Nash, your question, sir.
Good evening, Mr. King.
Good evening. How are you?
Well, let me see how it's going to start. You know, I live right close to St. Pete.
Yes.
And, of course, reading the paper, that don't mean nothing. You can even believe this part of it. But I hear a radio station at night, and there's very few nights that don't go by. We don't hear something about the strike over there, you know? And of you being over there. And people have called and asked about it. And I've been told, I heard over that station on numerous occasions that the men were offered their jobs back with an additional raise and their benefits, you know, and all. But they refused it. But
well,
why?
I have been told by the men themselves who were fired that they would be hired back as new employees without seniority, without retirement benefits, et cetera, et cetera. Which means that men who have worked 20 years, 15 years, would just be going on a new job. And for this reason, they are not willing to accept the conditions by which they would be hired back.
I see. Well, that isn't the way I understood it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I called to ask you. I'm just confused.
Yes.
I know we had our little strike here. It didn't last long. And everything went off very nicely here. And I was all in favor of the sanitation workers getting a raise, because believe me, they deserve it. And, of course, we the citizens, the taxpayers, we're having to pay for it because of an additional 50 cents on our bills this month, and telephone will go up another 50 cents next month, but that's to be expected, you know. And now, naturally, I don't know what salary they're making in your part of the country. Down here in the South, the salaries aren't too high. I don't know about St. Pete. I'm speaking of Tampa.
Well, be assured they're not too high.
No, my husband doesn't make very much. He doesn't make as much as a sanitation worker does. And, but that's neither here nor there. You can't always have it. You know, I mean, you can't always have your cake and eat it, too. And believe me, I'm just for anything that would be bring peace among our people, all of us. And I just pray and hope to heavens it can happen.
Well, please be assured the demonstrations in St. Petersburg will be conducted nonviolently. The disturbance or any of the violence that will come, if any comes, and I pray to God that none will come, I'm sure will not be instituted by the sanitation workers. It won't be initiated by them. I feel that it will come from the opposing forces, those who would not want to see these men live comfortably.
Well, we all, there's a lot of us I know, I'm speaking for myself alone, I mean by myself, I can't speak for everybody, had great admiration for your brother. And I felt very deeply about what happened. And I just don't know sometimes, you know what I mean? You just can't put into words how you wish people would be to each other and treat people different. And I listen to Mr. Shields. I think it's a wonderful program. And I wish it could be earlier where more people could get on and hear it. Because so many people go to bed this time of night. And I think whoever started it has done something wonderful in a way. And I've listened to all of his programs, and some people get on there, they're very belligerent, and say, like the Black Panther was on the other night, he was a nice man to talk to. It's only human nature. You speak nice to me, I'm going to speak nice to you, you know? If somebody calls up from some distant city and starts giving you a bad time, you're going to give them a bad time. I mean, that's pure nature. I don't care who you are. Am I correct?
Well, it depends on one's commitment.
Yeah, well,
it depends on how deeply one is committed to loving his neighbor. And in many instances, we have to understand the frustrations of many and try to understand the frustrations of all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Nash, thank you so very much for calling.
Well, I appreciate this call for calling, Mr. Shields. And thank you again. And you too, Mr. King.
Thank you very much.
Good night.
Good night. This is Night Call in New York, and we'll accept another call, this time from St. Petersburg, Florida. Mr. George Spiro is hearing Night Call from WFLA. Your question, Mr. Spiro.
Dr. King.
Yes, sir.
I believe you were wrong on the statement you made over the telephone tonight, over the air, that on the wages received by the old workers who were fired.
Well, please correct me. I don't have that before me.
That's right.
So
they
you may
were
feel
received...
free to correct me. I could not say that authoritatively.
Yeah. They received $78 per week for a six-day week instead of five because they worked four full days, a half-day Wednesday and a half-day Saturday.
Now, you're speaking of the present workers or...
The ones that were fired. Mm. Now, with under them conditions, the men asked... And they were getting $78 for the week, and they asked a 25 cent per hour raise, which would bring them to $88 a week.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked for a 5-day week instead of 2 half-days. Now, what looks so bad to the public is this. The new men, without experience, are working 48 hours a week, and their base pay would start at $78 a week plus a 5 cent raise, which would bring $2 more, would bring it to $8. Now on the sixth day, they get time and a half overtime, which brings that extra $24. So that brings it up to a total of $104 a week. Now, that would only hire 200 men, new men without experience, for the same money that they could have 240 experienced men. Because if you figure the both hourly hours worked, it comes out to 9,600 hours. So there must be some other reason why these men were fired other than wages, because the wages today would bring them to $104.
Well, it is, again, my understanding that these men were fired because they were not granted the privilege of asking for other benefits along with the raise, and refusing just to accept the quarter raise, they were fired before being able to ask for other benefits that were included. As I say, I don't have all of these details before me. I may be in error there, and I stand to be corrected. However, the men have said that they're willing to go back to work, produce the same quality of work as experienced men for 40 hours, that is now being done for 48, for the same wages.
In other words, they go to work for a 40-hour week at $88 instead of a 48-hour week for $104.
No, I'm saying that they are willing to go to work now for 40 hours, under the same wages that are now being paid as experienced men, rather than 48, but producing the same quality of work.
Mm-hmm. Well, sir, I can't see where they gain anything by...
Well, you know, often it is difficult to see on the inside when we're looking from the outside.
Well,
I think in many instances this is what is happening. Many of us are looking from the outside, trying to look in on the problems of these fired workers.
Yes,
we really can't see them.
I think it's a sad experience because a man should have a right to express his grievances. And when a man has nobody to back him up, no civil service or... isn't allowed to strike, it doesn't give a man much chance. It sounds like the old age, you know.
Right.
Old time.
This is precisely what has been happening.
Yeah, and I wish them the best of luck.
Thank you.
Mr. Spiro, thank you for calling, sir.
Good night.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York. We'll depart for station identification, and then we'll be coming back with more comments and conversations on tonight's subject, Is St. Petersburg Another Memphis? Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Reverend A.D. King after station identification. Call it a social pressure valve. The voice of the ghetto. The voice of disgust. The voice of hope. Call it what you will, it's the voice of the people. Night Call lets people talk. And experts on the phone anywhere in the country or world offer answers to some of the problems. Having a heart-to-heart squawk. At least it gets people talking, first about their problems and eventually to each other. Night Call has a potential cast of 200 million Americans, and we now cover 50 stations in 40 cities. It could just be the most important listening post on the air today because it starts people talking. A program you should listen to, a forum to speak for yourself. If we don't start talking to each other, we'll end up shouting, and there's no telling where we'll wind up after that. Night Call, every weeknight on this station. Speak for yourself, collect. On Night Call, area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to Reverend A.D. King about Is St. Petersburg Another Memphis? Again, Del Shields.
Reverend King, we have Reverend Ed Curry, who is hearing Night Call over WDIA in Memphis, Tennessee. Reverend Curry, your question, sir.
Well, first of all, may I make a statement rather than ask a question? Reverend King, we are so very proud to have you on Night Call tonight, and certainly we share your deep concern with the plight of the sanitation workers in St. Petersburg. We have listened attentively tonight to the many persons who've called, and certainly having been in the midst of the plight here in Memphis for any number of weeks, now that the strike is settled, the aftermath still lingers on. We are deeply concerned with your plight, and I wonder if the people who are calling have really been as close to the matter as you have, both in Memphis and in St. Petersburg, and do they really know what goes on the inside of these men who have worked virtually lifetime for nothing, doing the more disturbing type work and the filthiest and the dirtiest work that could be done by any human being. And I wonder sometime if they could only have firsthand experiences as you have had and as I have had, and listen to the
Thank you very kindly.
Thank you so much, Reverend. Thank you for calling. Our next caller from St. Petersburg, Florida, Mr. William Fuller, is standing by. Mr. Fuller, your question,
yes?
Sir. Mr.
Hello?
Fuller? Yes, sir.
Dr. King?
Yes, sir.
Well, first of all, I want to correct certain impressions that the gentleman from Tampa gave, trying to tell us that there is no enthusiasm in St. Petersburg among the Negro people, protesters. That isn't so. I live nearby, 350 feet south, here, not far from City Hall, and on my way to the library, every night, I saw those marchers there. In fact, it's very astonishing and surprising indeed how human beings could stand drenching rain that we have been having every day, with the exception of today, thank the Lord. We have had hurricanes, practically. Storms, let's call them storms, let's not exaggerate. And those were chanting peacefully in drenching rain. Naturally, you couldn't have thousands marching by that way. Lots of those people who couldn't stand that rain, you see. Now, I wanted to correct that impression that the gentleman tried to give us. Secondly, of course, these people here in St. Petersburg, the garbage pickers, really they are very peaceful. In fact, if they were not so peaceful, they would have created a riot about a year ago. When, for instance, struck, why Lynn Andrews, the city manager, not only that, of course, not they lost their job, but he actually hired, had a contract with some employment agency out of the state, not out of the city, to hire scabs, and scabs came right here to do the work. Mind you, he just brought the city back to before the Depression. That's when they used to hire scabs when there used to be a strike. In fact, they didn't do it. The garbage, who were surprised, I'm a white man, who were surprised how peaceful these garbage pickers were. In fact, they won the great praise by all the people here. And Andrews even was forced to give raises, because the raises there was absolutely not only of garbage pick, but all City Hall. And then, again, now they are striking. Now, I understand, from Goodsall, because he can't keep his promises that he gave them then when they started to working again. So with all this talk, sure they are peaceful. I saw them chanting one night in drenching rain in front of City Hall, chanting a peaceful hymn. It's wonderful. That's the way of protesting. They are not breaking any law. Of course, if somebody is going to tease them, you know, starting from the city manager himself, if they want to create trouble, they might have it. I hate to see the peaceful city of St. Petersburg turned into Memphis. But of course, if they are going to tease them too much, you never know what might happen here.
Right. Thank you very much.
That's all I have to say, Dr. King, and keep up the work. Never mind that you haven't got the right to. This is a free country, and a person has the right to be a missionary here, to try to, especially here, as I said, they are so peaceful, they need a fellow like you to enlighten them. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling, sir. Thank you. Our next caller is from Indianapolis, Indiana. Mrs. Mamie Coe is hearing Night Call over WTLC. Your question, Mrs. Coe.
Hello, Dr. King.
Yes.
I would like to say that I'm glad that
It is. I hope it's not another Memphis. And I would like to say that I do belong to SCLC here, and I know what our people are doing in Eclipse. I would like to say to the public that the caller before that said the crowd was enormous, well, this I'm sure is because of being the South, which we all know about, that each one has threatened those people's jobs. And they have families, and they're afraid to go out. I'm certainly sure that this is the reason you don't have 2,000 instead of 200. And because I know here, when I went to Washington, that this is helped by your job. They definitely hold this on you. You're going to be a troublemaker, they say. What do you want? What do you want, you know? I say, well, this is a country that has always been in revolution of one or the other, an awakening. And so I just want to say to the public that I'm sure that that listener before, if there's not 200, it's not because their hearts aren't there. It's because they are afraid, and I'm sure with the tactics that they have in the South, like acid in the pools and all, I'm sure they're afraid. I thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling. Reverend King, we have about 30 seconds. Where do we go from here in Petersburg?
Well, we will continue our peaceful demonstrations and our protest. We do plan to keep raising these questions in a nonviolent way until the city of St. Petersburg will recognize the problem and deal constructively with it.
Reverend King, we want to thank you so much for being with us on Night Call.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. This is the end of the week, and we want to do a little Night Call business and tell you about next week's lineup. First, keep the mail coming. We need and welcome warmly your suggestions and comments. Our mail address is Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip 10970. That's Night Call, Pomona, P-O-M-O-N-A, Pomona, New York, zip code 10970. Next week, we'll devote all five nights of Night Call to a look at the changing face of black leadership. Monday's guest is the Reverend Jesse Jackson of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Tuesday, Chester Lewis, the leader of the Young Turk movement in the NAACP. Wednesday is Roy Ennis, acting director of CORE. Thursday, Robert Sonny Carson, also of CORE, one of the leaders of a revolt in that organization. And Friday is Ron Karenga, president of the U.S. organization in Los Angeles. Next week, five nights on the new face of black leadership. This is Del Shields in New York. Have a good weekend. Good night and peace.
Night Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Monday night, same time, same station. Part one of a week-long series on the changing face of black leadership. The Reverend Jesse Jackson of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Listen Monday night. Discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, and the National Urban Coalition.